Well, go ahead and put your eyes on 3 John. Turn all the way to the right side of your Bible. If you hit the table of contents, you went too far. If you hit Revelation, then take a left turn. You know, we're really blessed that God ordained that these verses that are precious to us were actually codified. Could you imagine preaching, telling people where to turn? Somewhere in the book of Isaiah, you just keep reading until you find it. But y'all do realize that the numbers are not anointed. Boy, that was just pitiful. Let me try that again. The numbers were not there when God gave Paul the letter, amen, to 1 and 2 Timothy. When Isaiah was given this by prophetic utterance, it wasn't numbered. Some of you are just stunned to hear that. Amen. It's just like, you just undermine my faith totally. But aren't you glad it's there?
Yes.
It does help us get on the same page and move right along. Amen. Could you imagine how long sermon series would be without them? It's a wonderful message in 3 John, verse 2. It says, "Dear friend or beloved, I pray or I wish that you may enjoy or thou mayest be in health, that all may go well with you, or that all that you would prosper basically in all things, even as what? Even as your soul prospers." So the Lord's really been speaking to me for really, goes back months. I'm just waiting on the timing of God for this. But the Lord really wants to inject the confidence and faith in this congregation for more healing, not less. Say more healing.
More healing.
And to do that, you have got to have a foundation to understand, you know, where this comes from. And it's not something man made up. It doesn't show up, you know, in the 1900s with the Pentecostals. God has been healing people from the inception of his people.
Yes, he has.
And that healing is in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And don't let anybody talk you out of that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the word of God. And if you don't have that foundation, you can be talked out of it by circumstances, by other people. There's a drumbeat right now that miracles are over. God doesn't do that. It's all about just getting people saved and getting to heaven. And we wholeheartedly agree that's the greatest miracle of all.
That's it.
But there are a lot of people who need to be, you know, taught these things and press in for these things so they can live out the full days of their life and accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. He wants everybody in this room to do the things we're assigned to do. And that's going to take some revelation and understanding of healing. Before Oral Roberts went home to be with the Lord, he announced prophetically that healing was coming back big time. Smith Wigglesworth announced before he left that there's going to be the greatest healing revival in the history of the world, you know, in the days to come, in the weeks to come. He didn't have a sense of timing, but he did have a sense of what God is getting ready to do. So it's important you understand healing in you. Say that, healing in me,
healing in
and
me.
Healing through you.
Healing
it's never just about you personally.
No, that's right.
There's always a bigger picture to it. But you can't do what you're called to do. You can't be what you're called to be if you're not walking in strength of days and length of days. There's always a mission attached to any of the redemptive promises. Anything included in the atonement has to do with the advancement of the kingdom of God, and he needs you to be healthy. How would any nation win wars if all their soldiers or half their soldiers were walking around sick all the time? Does that make sense? They say that an army runs on its stomach, but even more important than that, it runs on its health. And so wherever we are, God would like to take you to that next level of soundness in your body. If there's something going on in your life, to bring you to a place of restoration. And let me just go ahead and shoot across the bow of anybody that's been under condemnation. You facing some kind of a physical affliction does not mean you're a second-class Christian.
Amen. That's right.
That is one of the tricks of the devil to get you under a place of condemnation so you can't receive from God. That it has nothing to do. Yes, there's a tie when people are living rebelliously towards the Lord. There are things that can come into their lives, and there is a correlation between that lifestyle and the way that they live. We all know that's true. at the same time, there are a lot of godly people that are facing things. And if they're not careful, instead of focusing on what the Word says and appropriating their faith for restoration, they spend all their time dealing with condemnation. And so we talked about compassion. It's okay if you have a little compassion for yourself tonight.
Amen. All right.
That's right. That's right.
This side of the church got it. This side over here is still stunned about the numbers I just brought up. Say it with me. It's okay if I have some compassion for myself. And you know, oftentimes Christians aren't. Compassion towards everybody else in the body of Christ out there, but you have little, you know, patience for yourself. And I'm not talking about justifying things. I'm talking about it being in a place spiritually where you can deal with what's going on. You need to be hitting on all cylinders to fight this stuff. And the other reason, and I think there's a timing aspect to this, I've never seen spiritual leaders across the world attacked more than they are right now in their bodies. I could go right now and give you a list of people, many of those names you would know, who have faced things in their body. And again, it has nothing to do with how terrible they are. We're in a war.
That's it.
And he'd like to slice you and dice you and cut you and grate you and take you out and take you out early. That's exactly the plan of the enemy. Well, just like where sin abounds, what does grace do? It abounds all that much more. So I want to announce one dimension of that grace and your salvation is where sickness abounds, healing abounds all that much more. Restoration abounds all that much more. Victory abounds all that much more. So it's not cause to get discouraged or into fear or into condemnation. Just face what it is. There's an onslaught of sin in this world and darkness. You know that's true. And there's an onslaught of sickness and disease out there. And you need to have your faith built up. And I'm going to tell you something. Your faith for healing won't stay there if you don't feed it.
That's right.
Your mind doesn't stay renewed. And your faith doesn't stay intact because you came to a pinnacle of believing and you kind of built a little building there and a shelter and that's where you dwell. That's not how this works. If you're honest, you'll know that your confidence for different Bible promises, it ebbs and flows depending on where you are any given day and what you're giving your attention to. And I've been studying this for a very long time. When I first got born again in Spirit-filled, I didn't have absolutely any doubt that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a healing God. Can I have an amen?
Yes,
it is. And I read it. And part of what you can do is read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in this series, we're going to literally read all four Gospels during the service. Look at you guys.
All right.
What is this? Part 155 of the healing service? No, I did that. We're going to teach from all the Gospels and from the book of Acts. But I did that. I read that and I never found one time where Jesus put anything on anyone. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen what? The Father. I didn't see him put it on anyone and I didn't see him say no to anyone. Now to build this big doctrine of you never know what God's going to do, you would think at least somebody was turned down. And if God was putting stuff on us to teach us a lesson, you surely would have found at least one person, not one, but dozens of individual cases, right? Because let every word be established by what? Two or three witnesses, where somebody came up to him and he just nailed them with some kind of disease.
No.
The problem is he doesn't carry disease.
No, he doesn't.
It gets around him and it dies. Sickness dies around him. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
That's that anointing. A documented case of John G. Lake over in Africa where the bubonic plague was ravaging people left and right and he was not being affected by it. And he was defying the doctors and the nurses said, don't touch these bodies. We can't afford to have you getting sick. And they literally found out that when they had various microbes placed on his skin, you know what's happening to him? They were dying. What was it on his skin that caused those things to die? When those things were killing everybody else it touched. It is the anointing of God. Look at somebody and smile and say, there's something on you. And it's the anointing. I see, when you hear a story like that, you either go, yep, I believe it, praise God, hallelujah, and I'm going to walk that same way in Jesus' name. And I will tell you too, there are many, many women of God who have been used powerfully in the healing ministry who have something going on they've been fighting in their own body. Again, I give you a long list of contemporary leaders and historical leaders. Even Smith Wigglesworth fought sickness. Amen. He'd go out and raise the dead, then double over in pain. You say, my mind can't comprehend that. It's not about what your mind can comprehend. Say this to me, from now on, I'm thinking with my faith and not my mind.
Amen.
That's the problem. Nowhere does the Bible tell you to do what? To defer to your mind, because your mind at any moment in time may be in an unrenewed state or a deficiently renewed state. But your faith, guess what, is pure.
Yes.
It's holy. Amen. Based entirely on what God said rather than what we think or what somebody else thinks. So, you know, I've taught this through the years. I've taught healing school. I have taught methods of healing. I've taught operations of healing, how to minister to those that are sick. But we want to make sure that we understand this is two sides of the same coin. It's you being whole and then God using you to get other people whole. I have a vision of dozens and dozens of people in this church any given day. If you stop time, you could find them praying for the sick all over this town. They'd be at the gas station laying hands on people, at the supermarket laying hands on people, at the workplace laying hands on people. And all over this town, people are getting healed because guess what? God confirms His word with signs following. Any volunteers here?
Yes.
And you will see in Scripture how healing is evangelistic. Healing catches the attention of people. In the Scripture, you'll see particularly those that have no Jewish heritage even. Many of the Jews rejected on its face. But a lot of the pagans, the Greeks, heard Him gladly and were enthralled by the power that was operating in His life.
Amen.
Amen. So do you have any volunteers here that God will let you will let God use you?
Yes.
Amen. You say, well, what if I pray for somebody and they don't receive? Well, first of all, if you're operating by what you see, you don't know they didn't receive.
That's right.
Did you go take them to the hospital and run a bunch of tests on them to find out? You don't know what's truly going on inside of that heart. So there are three levels when it comes to the operation of a healing and wholeness. The first level is divine healing. If you're sick somewhere in your body, there is divine healing available for God's people. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That could apply to your mind. Say, my mind, my emotions, my body. I don't have to be concerned about your spirit, because when you got born again, guess what? There is nothing inferior. There is nothing deformed. There's no such thing as a deformed spirit. And if we could just learn to defer to that in our lives, we would be a whole lot more victorious. Glory to God. And oh, by the way, it's something you can't kill. There is no disease. There is no condition. There's nothing that can kill the human spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, you are stuck with me for eternity. Eternity. This is not a good time to get up and move. That's not going to get you any slack here. They're still going to be with you. And how exciting is it going to be?
Amen.
Somebody dies in Christ, absent with the body,
that's right,
present with the Lord. Yes. This flesh goes to naught, back to the dust whence it came, but there is a glorified body coming. And the reunification of that spirit in a body that can never be destroyed, like how the Lord walks today.
That's right.
Amen. He's the first fruits. He's the example. He's the model. And when He comes back, that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. So understand this. Christians, once they're born again, watch this. Now, you know, even if they're not, they never die. You're just going to depend, you know, where you end up is going to be different from the born again Christian. But you're never going to die. Death has been swallowed up in victory by what He has done and what He's going to do in His return. Glory to God. So we have every reason to be excited.
Yes.
But in the meantime, everybody say, in the meantime, let's let God use us.
Yes.
Glory to God. You know, healing in a church like ours is what you'd call a cardinal doctrine. Say cardinal doctrine. I don't have a problem with that. I've always believed it. Just like I believe in new birth, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I believe in divine healing, and I believe in the second coming of Christ.
Right.
Those are all critical.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But, you know, He comes, He gets His own, and the dead are raised. We understand that. The baptism is critically important. The new birth is critically important. But I'm going to tell you that the healing is also important for you personally and for God to move through you to touch other lives. And I'm praying that God gives everybody in this church just boldness.
Yes.
Amen. How hard is this to say to a stranger, you know, I'll look at you and God kind of puts you on my heart. Can I pray for you about something? You know, some oddballs will say no.
Yeah.
But you'd be amazed how many people will say yes.
That's
you have no idea the number of walking wounded that even in a town like ours.
That's it. Amen.
Amen. So say it, I'm ready.
More healing.
Not less healing. So there's divine healing number two. Then there is divine health, which is a level of maintaining or sustaining what God has given you. How many would say with a raised hand, for most of your life, you've been pretty healthy. Now, that is not a natural phenomenon. That is not something that naturally happens. God is sustaining you. He should be praised for your divine health. There is such a thing as divine health. And by your own testimony, you've been living that way most of your life. Your sickness, the disease, the infirmity, the trauma, the accident, or whatever that threatened that was the exception to the divine health. People all over the world live in divine health by God's grace.
Yes. Yes.
How many know some ugly, mean people that live a long time? That's not the devil keeping them alive, and it's not their natural ability keeping them alive. They are under His grace. They are under His love. He loves. The Bible says He's compassionate to all, Psalm 145. He shows His grace to all that He has created. So therefore, you and I being believers ought to be able to tap into this a whole lot more by revelation and understanding. So I thank God that I can point to some, you know, blips in the screen where things weren't perfect physically, and you can too, but on the, you know, in the scheme of things, like on a spreadsheet, so to speak, you know, I can list all the years that I have had absolutely nothing wrong with me, and you can too. Yes. You got to give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him for divine health. Amen. And so if you're dealing with something, we're just going to use our faith to move you back into the divine health category.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do what God has called you to do. The world will squander that divine health. And squander the opportunities of having that divine health. But you and I are not going to squander that opportunity.
No.
We're going to let God use us. Amen?
Yes.
So say it. There's divine healing. There's divine health.
Divine.
And the third level is divine life. This is not where you're just whole. This is where the life of God proceeds out of you to impart life to other people. It should not freak you out. It shouldn't bother you to understand He uses His people to get people healed. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. This is what God has ordained to do. He ordained that men and women would preach, He would teach, we would lead people to Christ, but we would also be used to get them healed. And so when you're walking in a faithful state with God and you have wholeness in your life, or even if you're even being challenged by something, divine life can flow out of you.
That's right.
Why? Because there's divine life in you.
That's right. Amen.
There's divine life.
There is divine life.
In me now. In fact, the divine lives in you.
Yes, he does.
We have a hard time grasping this, but by God's grace, you have been made divine.
Praise the Lord. It's divine nature. Yes.
Now, what I didn't say is you're God. No. You're not. But man stumbles over this word divine because they don't understand what it is. You're God birth. You're born again.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You've been raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places. You are joint heirs with Him.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Now, the problem is the way I think and you think and the way we handle our emotions and the way we handle our bodies, not so divine.
No.
But one day,
yes.
How many are progressing?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're not as flaky as you used to be?
Yes.
I have pastored some folks for decades and they are still flaky. I've pastored people that have been born again 6 months and they're shooting up like a rocket spiritually. That's a decision that we have to make, not to be run and controlled by our emotions. And I will tell you, this is subtle how the enemy gets to us. Wear you down, beat you up, discourage you, get somebody chirping at you in your ear. Next thing you know, you're allowing how you feel to dictate your decisions and what you're doing. That's not flowing in divine life. Right now, your spirit man is completely alive with divine life.
Yes, praise God.
If we can stop the emotions in our mind, our stinking thinking, and our bodies from blocking that, we'll see a whole lot more people restored. Yeah. That makes sense?
Yes.
Because the gospel is powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And say it: soundness, healing, wholeness, protection, provision. Everything is wrapped into that word, salvation.
Yes.
Amen. So say it: divine healing,
divine
health,
divine
life.
Divine.
Did he die for them?
Yes.
Yeah. Is Jesus going to come back physically and do the work for you? No, when he comes back, he's coming back for a different purpose. He's expecting the flow, that divine flow, to come from us, from him, you know, through us to other people. So I've been meditating on factors that affect our receiving from God, and by extension, factors that affect other people receiving through us. And this is not something for us to come under condemnation about, but to reflect and to see where we actually are. And I'm not going to go in detail with each of these. If the Lord leads, I'll absolutely dissect every one of these in a message. But that's going to be something that I need to feel prompted about, because there's a time base to this, that the Lord is trying to say something to us. And one of the first things we'll do is make sure that everybody in this church has a foundation theologically of how true healing is biblically.
Amen.
So there's no doubt. I mean, say it: no doubt here.
No doubt.
It's good to have no fear here, but it's also good to have what? No doubt here. And that you're not basing what you believe on who you prayed for and they died, or who you prayed for and they got worse, or you didn't receive this or they didn't receive that. It's not based on what grandma and grandpa say. It's not based on what that church says. Not based on what that YouTube channel says. It's not based on what that Facebook post says. It's based entirely on what the Word of God says. You focus on what God's Word says, then you'll be strong in this doctrine of healing. So important. You and I don't live in a bubble. And because of that, we have to choose what we're going to focus on and then believe. Amen. The first factor shouldn't come as a surprise to you. It's called knowledge. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for what? Their lack of knowledge. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ, and even the world for that matter, that have no idea that God has made provision for the healing of their body, their minds, their emotions. It's as if they just don't know anything. And some folks have made a conscious decision not to believe. But if I don't have knowledge about healing, then I cannot walk in the full measure of it. And so one of the things we will do is make sure that you have that foundation under you. That somewhere to come up and poke you like that, everybody or everything within you will scream, I believe he heals. Amen.
Amen.
I believe he restores. Say it: no doubt here.
No doubt.
Say no doubt here.
No doubt.
Just faith. Based on what his word says. Now watch this. You're choosing to get your eyes off of your experiences and focus them completely upon the word of God. Anybody can believe what they see experientially. That doesn't take any faith. But to believe what the word says exclusively, that takes some faith. So what we're talking about is not just knowledge about little pieces of information. We're talking about revelation, where you have a revelation of the healer, amen, who heals you, but also heals what? Through you.
Yeah.
Said he's a healer.
He's a healer.
And he heals me.
He heals.
And he heals through me. Now we know how the word works. Faith comes by hearing. Mm-hmm. And hearing by what? By the word of God. And it's astounding just how big God's footprint is on healing, going all the way back to Genesis. Yeah. It's just like, you know what? My people got themselves into a mess. I'm going to have to release the nature that I have to heal. They're never going to make it. And how many know that's true? How many can say you're not going to make it without him?
That's right.
How many can say you wouldn't have made it this far?
That's right.
Without him? That's called the grace and the mercy of God. Yes. And you can track this and see it for yourself. So say it: knowledge.
Knowledge.
You know, you need to know what God thinks. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his thoughts. You need to cast down your thoughts and take on his thoughts about this subject. Number two is the factor of faith. Believing that healing is for today and for you. Repeated often in Scripture, Jesus rebuked, ye have little faith, because your faith was so small. He bragged on the centurion because the centurion said, look, you know, all you have to do is just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus called that what? great faith. Now, the good news for you and for me is we have two weapons if we want to cultivate, develop, and release our faith. One is spending time in the Word of God. Say it, faith comes by hearing. The second thing is unique to the full gospel believer, the Pentecostal, the charismatic. Jude verse 20, guess what? Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now you have cultivation of faith. You have the ability to build yourself up in your most holy faith. You say, oh, no, no, I got to have so-and-so. I got to go to such a conference. Got to hear this. Got to hear the Lord. You have the ability to grow your faith every single day. And that's what church is really all about, to tell you how to grow your faith in any subject, including healing. Say it with me. Pray in the Spirit and get into the Word like never before. Just take a highlighter and go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts and look at all the healing narratives and stories. It's outstanding. Okay. In the Gospels, are there more stories of personal conversion like Zacchaeus or more stories of physical healing? It's not even close. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, the calling of his disciples, it's not even close. And yet, theologians will tell us today that healing's passed away. This isn't even right. Well, how come Jesus emphasized it so much in Scripture? Because it goes together. Remember the man that the four friends carried and they dug through the roof and they lowered him down? What did he get? He got healed and spiritually restored. So we see that they go together, don't they, church? But you have to believe. I mean, to make a difference how much we preach, if you don't believe that he is a restorer, it's going to be hard for you to receive. And listen, when you're battling it personally, sometimes it's hard for you personally to believe for yourself. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
That doesn't make you a heathen at that moment. What do you do at that moment? You get every time Dick and Harry that's a faith person agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Here's a tip. Go over and let some of those kids lay hands on you from our academy or from Harbor Kids. They haven't been taught to doubt yet.
Praise God.
Timothy didn't tell me this. He told Kelly this, but Timothy had Juliana in the car coming to church early on. It was Sunday, wasn't it? Sunday morning. And Timothy had a praise song on. What was the song they were singing? Firm Foundation. We've seen that song as well. Christ is our firm foundation, isn't he?
Yes.
And Timothy said the presence of God just filled the car on the way to church. He looks back. She's singing and tears are streaming down her face. She didn't even know really what was happening to her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
These kids aren't being taught to doubt.
No.
They're not being taught that if you're spirit-filled, you're a freak.
Right.
See, for these kids growing up in this, and I didn't. I had to come, I was kind of Johnny come later, but thank God I came to the revelation of the spirit-filled life and the new birth. But these kids, they're not raised in unbelief.
Hallelujah.
They're not going to know to doubt God. One of the reasons we tell you it's so important to take advantage of these ministries like the children's ministry, like the youth ministry. Yeah, they're having fun making s'mores, but they're taught the uncompromised Word of God. Timothy last week taught our youth on righteousness mentality. Could you imagine what you could have done with that if you were 13, 14 years old? All the stupid stuff you wouldn't have done if you knew that you were righteous, made righteous by the blood. They grew up religiously thinking, you know, well, you never know what God's going to do. Our righteousness is a filthy rags, but never taught the rest of that. Yes, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but he didn't give us our righteousness. He gave us his. And who's going to make an argument that his righteousness is as filthy rags?
That's right.
Only somebody really dumb. Amen. So this is so important that you might, as we talk about this stuff, you might have to check your religion at the door. You might have to unlearn some things. Well, I always heard this. That's not what's important. What does the Word of God say about this situation? What does God say about this topic in His Word? Look, if you come here week after week, month after month, and you don't have to unlearn something, then I'm not doing my job. This is not to affirm your religion.
That's right.
It's to get your mind renewed.
That's right.
And it requires, you know, focus and diligence. I remember Keith Moore talking about this, that he knew this young person was dealing with something very, very traumatic and difficult. And they were sitting in the service, and revelation was flowing, and he was paying attention. He said, all of a sudden, he slipped over into this prophetic thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you can tell when there's teaching and there's prophetic utterance in a teaching? Does that make sense? And only a dialed-in person can tell that. And just about that time, that began to flow. The little answer to this boy's problem, this young man's problem, was coming out prophetically. Somebody opened up the back door, made a noise, and guess what the kid did? Turned his body and his head to see what was going on. And then, boom, just like that, it was over. You know, that's how the devil robs us. We need revelation. Say revelation. And we need our faith built up in these things. Amen? Say, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Another factor that affects our receiving is a thing called hope. If we cannot drive out an erroneous, unbiblical inner image in somebody's heart and spirit, we cannot give them victory. We certainly can't sustain victory in their life. I run into this over and over again, where no matter what they were told, no matter how people prayed for them, no matter what they heard, they had this inner image as the sick one, the debilitated one, the lame one, the destitute one, the loser. It was deep on the inside of them. And if you can't get that out, it's very difficult to get that person healed. Not impossible. All things what?
Are possible.
But I mean, they can hear and see what God is doing, and still themselves, they are. That's the dominant image in their life, because all their life, that's what they have cultivated, was being sick. That's all they knew. And sometimes they even believe that's what they deserve. You don't deserve to be sick. You deserve to be healed according to the word of God. This isn't about what you deserve.
No.
We're beyond that. Amen. He paid the price, so you deserve to be restored is what you deserve. That's what mercy is all about. Amen. So what do we do? Well, what happens is, and this is what Jerry Savelle taught so powerfully. In fact, I would say it's one of the top four or five, you know, revelations that God ever gave him. But he said that the heart is the canvas, and the word of God is the paint, and the Holy Spirit is the artist.
Yes.
And if you'll hang out long enough, he will paint a correct biblical inner image on the inside of you. Not of somebody who is sick, but of healed and whole and sound. And when that happens, everything's going to change in your life. Hope is an inner image of an eager expectation, and it has to be a biblical one. You and I have been barraged by the world, by religion, by negative thoughts and ideas. It takes some time to push that out. The other day I was listening to somebody talk about this. I said, every lottery winner that's been tracked, 80% of them are either dead broke or worse after 5 years after winning the lottery. Could you imagine? Could you imagine taking $500 million, you know, settlement on a $1 billion Powerball, whatever the case may be, and then being dead broke in 5 years? How can that happen? Because they never changed who they were on the inside. They're still a person with a poverty mentality on the inside, even though on the outside they had means. Same thing here. Here you have this great healing Savior.
Yes.
But then on the inside, somehow you've got this image of the sick, the derelict, the defeated, amen, the disease, and we've got to drive that out. So say it with me, it's knowledge, it's faith,
it's hope.
Number four, another factor is love. You can't let yourself get bitter. You want to drive yourself to the grave early? Get bitter.
Yeah.
You want to take other people with you?
Get bitter.
Because you never just go down yourself. The Bible says that bitter root springs up and defiles
many.
The bitter person never goes down spiritually by himself or herself. Say that with me. The bitter person never goes down by themselves. They always take others with them. So it's about maintaining love, staying out of strife. Say it with me, out of strife. No grudges. No unforgiveness. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are sick and afflicted for this one reason, but there are a lot of people you're trying to get healed. You're finding it difficult because they're walking around worshiping what happened to them instead of the God that forgave them and delivered them. It's become an idol to them. Their whole life is wrapped around this bitter element or moment in life, and that's all they can think about. And they're stuck right there. And God help you if you identify it and point it out. Oh, Lord. Some of these people, you better duck. You hear things like, well, you just don't know what it's like. That has nothing to do with it. That phrase, you just don't know, is irrelevant because it doesn't change the word. No. Who commands us to what? To walk in love, yes, and not in bitterness. Yes. So we're in a command issue there, a disobedience issue that's holding us up. Well, you walk in love. We also talked for a few weeks about compassion. Can I have an amen? Yes. We need to have a love walk with God, but also compassion towards others. These are factors that affect our receiving from God. The next one is inputs, so the things we're putting before our eyes and our ears. The factor of the inputs. In Proverbs 4, the Bible says in verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Say health to all their flesh. How many of y'all believe that? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Galatians 6:8 tells us, we sow to the Spirit, we are going to reap life. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are what? They're spirit, and they are what?
Life.
And they are life. A lot of things that we're allowing to come before us are not producing life. In fact, they can produce death if you're not careful. So say, my inputs need some attention. Number six is the human will is a factor. Does the Bible not say He'll give you the desires of your heart?
Yes, it does.
Do you know that you could pray for somebody fervently, full of faith,
yes,
in compassion, and they do not want what you are praying?
That's true.
I found that out in a very dramatic way. In fact, when Paul spoke about this in Philippians 1, verse 22, he was talking about, you know, leaving versus staying. If I stay, it's for the benefit of the church. Church is really plural. But if I go, it's better for me. And here's what he said. I don't know what I will choose. He did not say, I don't know what God will choose. It's getting quiet, just like those numbers a little while ago. He did not say, I don't know what God will choose. So you have been baptized in hyper-sovereignty teaching. You don't understand the power of the human will.
Yeah.
And you can pray till you're blue in the face. If somebody has already determined in their heart they want to be with the Lord, I'm sorry, but your faith is not going to overcome their will. Let me try that again. Your faith will not override somebody else's will. And you never know for sure where they stand.
It's true.
Amen.
It's true.
I had a lady who had double pneumonia over at Hopkinsville, and they put her on a ventilator, and about 2 days, they popped big holes in both her lungs. Pressure was high, wham, blew them out. And I mean, she was going down. We all gathered at the church and we're getting ready to do some kind of production, and we're praying and seeking God. And as we pray, all of her vitals would go up again. And then people go about their business, and all of a sudden she start crashing again. Well, we pray, and vitals will go back up again. And I get a call, run over there, go into intensive care and pray for her, and all of a sudden her vitals will go up again. And this went on. I don't know how many times this went on. Up and down, up and down, up and down over a period of a couple of days. And then this one day I was in there with her son and grandson. These were all Church of Christ people. The entire family got born again, spirit-filled in that ministry, including her. And she's laying in that hospital bed, and we were praying the prayer of faith. We were holding hands and praying the prayer of faith over her. And I have this vision. It's really kind of just, I have my eyes closed, but clearly it was a vision from God. And I remember her coming to me, just beautiful, dressed to the nines. You could see her. She was completely healthy. And she came up to me within like 2 or 3, feet. She said, tell my family I love them and goodbye. I'm standing there in intensive care going, how am I going to pray over that? And sure enough, he said, well, did you tell them? Of course I didn't tell them that. I told them to fight on and fight on and fight on. What was going on was a tug of war between the will of her family and her church and her. Are you listening to that?
Yes.
And so, when they started to realize that this is what was going on, they kind of just blessed her and, wanted to release her in their hearts. It wasn't until the funeral that I actually brought this up. Let me put it to you this way. The church in Hopkinsville at that time was about 25 years behind your level of revelation as you sit here. So needless to say, I got more than a few eyes batting at me. All I know is what I experienced. All I know is it's biblical. Amen. Paul said, I don't know what I will choose. Your mistake is thinking that you don't have a choice.
Yes, you do.
No, that's just for Paul. That is a misappropriation of Scripture for you to delegate some covenant benefit to Paul and not to yourself. We do the same thing with Jesus all the time. Well, Jesus did that. We can't possibly see somebody healed. That's the error of your application. That's one of those little seeds of religion popping up on you right now. And the longer you're under the Word of God, religion is going to try to come out. And you have to at that moment say, I am not going to serve some religious teaching. I'm going to serve the truth.
Yes.
And so what you need to do is before the physical battle, decide what you're supposed to do. And get an agreement with God. Say it, I'm going to live long, live strong. Say it, healthy, strong. Say it, healthy, wealthy, strong, live long, and prosper. Just like Spock.
That's right. Amen.
And whether you share this with people or not in your family, that's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you, the reality is there's a lot to this. There's a NFL star that Brother Copeland was ministering to, and his wife had cancer and she had died, and the Lord brought her back. In the process of coming back, she told them that she had an encounter with the Lord. She met the Lord. She walked with Him and talked with Him. And I'm supernaturally brought back. Say supernaturally. Isn't it wonderful that He still raises the dead? But that doesn't mean the person raised wanted to be.
That's true. That's true.
Watch this. And so it's just a few months later on, supernaturally healed, no cancer in her body. All of a sudden she dies. And the revelation that God gave that NFL player was, He said, Brother Copeland, here's the deal. When they die, if they ever see Jesus, it's over. It's just over. And you and I could say, oh, no. It's kind of arrogant for us to think that the ties we have down here surpass who He is and what He is. That's why you have to settle these things right now. And I would just tell you that once you're gone, your part of the redemptive mission is over. You'll have no other impact on souls, no other impact on family members. You are done. You're going to transition to something else. No, you're not going to float around like an angel for eternity. You have a job. You have a role to play. Right now, Mark Randall is in charge of all cheese production in heaven. That's his assignment. He's the cheese guy. Right now, Miss B has got a megaphone and she's running all the little children's ministries up there. And we have a lot we don't know about heaven. But I can tell you this, you're not going to sit on a stump for eternity. If He has you working down here, amen, He has you assigned to something. But you need to settle that. Your will is incredibly powerful when it comes to this issue. And I told those who were at the funeral for Steve, and just to let you know, he's dearly missed by this church, by my family. Tim and I, we love the guy and know that he's with Jesus, and that's an important thing. But he was resuscitated the morning that I went down to Paducah, about 9:30, and he had DNR. He was not supposed to be. The folks who had the power, the POA over his healthcare, understood he did not want that. But they did because some of the family hadn't gotten in, and so they did. And so I got there about an hour later, and I walked into the room, and the family said, hey, your pastor's here, your pastor's here. And I took him by the hand, and he looked up, he lifted his head from the pillow, and he said, stupid. And I thought, I love you too, brother. Amen. Appreciate that. I've been in this ministry all these years and never had somebody call me stupid from a hospital bed. But he kept on saying it. And what they concluded, and so did I, is that he was calling his kid stupid for bringing him back. He did not want to come back. Well, what did he have? He had his wife on the other side, another family on the other side. Amen. You need to settle these things. I want to beat a dead horse here. No pun intended. But you need to settle these issues in your own heart, what God has for you. With long life, he'll satisfy you. That doesn't matter if you're satisfied way younger, amen, at an early time of death, than you should. And, you know, the reason we bring up all these variables, because some of you think that God took somebody or God did this or God did that. First of all, God didn't tell you that. God did not come down and sit by your bed and say, I took so-and-so. That's religion, and that's man's attempt to try to explain things they can't understand. It's a critical time that you don't put words in God's mouth. Yes. You can say, I don't know, I don't understand, whatever, but I will tell you this, there are lots of these variables that affect our receiving, and we automatically assume if somebody gets it, then that was God. If they didn't, right? And of course, it is always God when somebody is restored. But if they don't make it, somehow God took them. Amen. Yeah, some of you are going to have to go home and take some Excedrin, I can see. But if you're going to talk about, you know, being a recipient of this healing word, and then God using you, then you need to know that it's not just that, it's not that simple. Just like if you find somebody and, well, if they had faith, they would have been healed. That's an arrogant thing to say because you don't know that. Is faith, I already told you, faith is a variable. Say, faith is a variable. It's not the only variable. Amen. You can have faith for somebody. And we had faith for this lady in Hopkinsville. Trust me. Collectively, we had faith. And the proof is she kept coming back from the brink. And if she was not as nice as she was, she might have said the same thing. Stupid, leave me alone. I want to leave. I want to go. And she had a lot of loved ones on the other side as well. So I'm saying to you is that knowledge is a variable. Hope is a variable. Love is a variable. Your inputs are a variable. Your will is a variable. And how many know that message probably needs to be preached in this and other churches?
Yes. Amen.
Look at somebody smile and say, your will is incredibly powerful. And you can't build a house in the middle of a storm, so you need to settle these things when you're sound mind and body.
That's right.
See, I'm going to live long and live strong. And you can deal with these things. You can deal with the infirmity that's out there. And I'm telling you, there's a war going on. And if the devil's attacking leadership all over the country and all over the world, don't think he's not going to come and attack you.
Right.
An attempt, amen, to slip something in. We have treated these things just in a very simplistic manner. And I'm just telling you that I didn't even 10 years ago have some of the understanding I have now. And God, I believe in these end times, is going to give us more understanding about the variables that affect receiving. So we don't need to do something stupid and say, well, they didn't have any faith. That is a dimension. Jesus did mark that as a reason. But I'm also telling you that the function of the will is another variable. That doesn't mean when somebody goes, you think too young, that it was that issue. It could have been something else altogether. But unless God personally came down and told you, we need to stop talking for God when we don't know what we're talking about. That's where the trust and the silence and the praise and the honor. I'll tell you this, God's still God.
Yes, he is.
I said, God's still God. He's still coming back no matter what. If you and I never received another thing from heaven, he's still God.
That's right.
And we know where we're going.
That's right.
And this life on this planet is just what? It's literally like breath on a window pane. It's here and it's gone. Amen. I wish these little white things would go. I have one following me, you know. Like, back, that cast the devil out of you. Say the will. Number 7 is stewardship of your body. You can pray all you want to while you're poisoning your body. Not likely good things are going to happen. Another demonstration of your will, actually. I will always remember this all my life, that we were in Savannah, Georgia. We were youth and associate pastors. Pastor had a triple bypass the first week we were there. And so for the first several months, we did all of our responsibilities plus all of his as a senior pastor. And later on, we got her mom, who had a lot of health problems, you know, lupus and phlebitis and all kinds of heart issues or whatever. And got on a plane and she came down. She spent some time with us. And what she ended up doing is going to a hospital, like Candler Hospital in Savannah, Georgia. Was it, what, 3 weeks total? It was 6 weeks. So she came, she stayed longer than she was supposed to. Amen. And this guy from, I think he was at, I want to say he was a graduate of Emory in Atlanta, but he was going through the history and physical for Dorothy. Well, you don't have this, do you? Yes. You don't have this, do you? Yes. You don't have this, do you? Yes. And it was a long conversation. And then he goes, well, I know that I just, you know, this is a ridiculous thing to ask you, but I know that you probably don't do this, but I have to ask you anyway. You don't smoke, right? She goes, I do. And he looked at her. I mean, you know, everybody tell her, hey, let's deal with this thing and encouraging her, whatever. But he looked at her, this younger physician, straight in the eye and said very seriously that your next one in your mouth could absolutely be the last thing you do on this planet. You know what she did? She stopped. She stopped and got, you know, more years, was able to see Timothy come around, that kind of a thing. And all I'm just telling you is that it's you poisoning your body while you're praying for divine health. Now, before you shake your big finger at smokers, I know some of you are thinking, if you do these as a series one by one, I ain't coming that day. I'm just telling you right now, I ain't coming. I ain't coming to the one on stewardship of the body, you know. For but do you hear what I'm saying, do you? We talk about this concept as if it's just, you know, one-dimensional. The reality is you can't be doing to your body or treating it in a wrong way at the same time believing with your faith that it's going to be fine. You have to use your discretion. You have to use your wisdom. You have to do what's right. And again, no counter condemnation from, because, you know, Americans overall are in a bad place physically. Yeah. And driving a lot of the issues in healthcare because of that. Well, we can make the changes. We should make the changes. But if you're going to listen to experts, you're going to be confused.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Drink coffee, don't drink
coffee. I mean, it really is that bad. Sugar bad, sugar good. Eggs good, eggs bad. Milk good, milk bad. Meat good, meat bad. Grains good, grains bad. Mm-hmm. Remember being taught in school, 4-4-3-2? What did it say? That's the goal for me and you. I know what it was. And you ended up taking like 6-7, you know, servings of grains a day. Do you know who takes 6-7, you know, servings of grains a day? Cows. They lied to us. Come to find out, there's a lot of communication between our FDA and pharma and big food producers. That's just reality. It's not conspiracy theory. It's just reality. But there is somebody who knows your body.
That's right.
Who made your body. And he can tell you exactly what you should and should not. Amen. Kelly is helping me hydrate like I never have before. You know, mom denies this now, but she put Coke in my baby bottle. I was teased the other day, and probably that version still had cocaine in it. Amen. I know what's going on now. But, you know, just whatever. And, you know, that's the sugar version. The other version that has all the toxins in it, not much better, obviously. You understand what I'm saying to you? And that God taught you. I'm not going to come out here with a list, clothesline for you. You're going to have to hear from the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you're going to have to hear from the Holy Ghost, because a sweetener company comes out and they just debunk another sweetener for money. You don't know who's telling you the truth, because it's true or because of what? Because of money. So if I was going to drink something, it was probably going to be something related to Coke. And now I have a personal trainer. How many bottles did you drink today? And folks, I have never had to run to the bathroom so much in my entire life. I don't know if that's happened to you when you start. I guess it's a good sign. You must be well hydrated. Well, bless God, I am well hydrated now. Whatever. But if there are adjustments like that to make you more healthy, then is that a bad thing?
No.
So I'm just telling you, it's one of the variables. Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Make sure you announce it and put it in the e-news. Well, I know we're not to come. No, say it by faith. I'm a coming. I have an inquiry of mine. I want to know about the stewardship of the body. And I don't want you to think this is exhaustive, but these are just the things the Lord's really wanting me to address for our specific body. But number 8 is boldness. A word in the Greek that's translated importunity. It means bold and steadfast perseverance. You won't take no for an answer. You know, and a lot of us need to understand the power of just staying in there. Like when a woman's daughter was just absolutely in bondage to the evil one, and she wasn't a Jew. Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now, right there is an inflection point for offense, right there. A lot of people get offended at the scripture answer to somebody's issue. But you know what she chose to do? Not get offended. Instead, she gave a faith response. Yea, Lord, but even little dogs eat the crumbs off the floor that drop from the table. You know what he said? He recognized that as a faith declaration. Because of this saying, your daughter is healed. Amen? There's another story, of course, where you see in Scripture that you know, when you see, you think you have an unjust judge or some participant in your life, and the boldness and importunity there, they don't get up and give you bread because of what? Because they're righteous or it's the right thing to do, but because of what? You keep bothering them. But how many know our Father's not like that? Amen. And he doesn't do the switcheroo. You're asking for bread, he gives you a snake. Amen. No. Boldness. There's a lot to be taught on that. It's a good thing, though, that born-again, spirit-filled people are bolder than the average bear. That's a good thing. Number 9 are your words. You're speaking the word rather than the issue. With Tim today, he was picking up some supplies for the kids tonight, and I saw this lady with a t-shirt, and it said, the back of it said, Lord, I have a good heart. Now bless my mouth. I thought, I know a lot of people just like that. They got a good heart, but Lord, bless my mouth. But can I help you out here? If you got a big mouth, there's something wrong with your heart too. Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart.
Mouth speaks.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the real problem, the t-shirt's wrong. I don't have a good heart if my mouth is not right. Amen. And you and I have a tendency to speak the problem, the circumstance, talk about the mountain, the issue, instead of keeping our mouth on what did God say about that situation. And there's a discipline here. And just like you can't keep poisoning your body and then praying for healing and everything's going to be just fine, you cannot poison your spirit with unscriptural talk and expect everything to be fine. Find out what God says about it and stay on it. Say, I am healed. Say, by his stripes, I am healed. He sent forth his word and he healed me. He carried my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Shout out, by his stripes, I was healed. Scripture is filled with this truth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He is a healer. The goal is that you and I will understand there are various, factors that affect our healing. Now, let's say you're believing God for somebody. God is able to give you wisdom. If you lack wisdom, can he give it to you?
Yes, he can.
So you don't say, well, they don't have any faith, or they don't have an inner image of eager expectation of healing, or this is the issue. Don't assume anything. Let the Lord tell you what the issue is. Can he tell you what the issue is? Does he have all knowledge? Yeah. If there is something blocking that, then you have the ability to receive from him and then move forward with it. Some of these are very hard to deal with. The will of people, a deeply ingrained inner image of a diseased person over a long time. That's why I'm telling you that the woman who was healed, we'll talk about her probably Sunday morning, after 18 years bent over, it's going to be very hard for that person. And yet she was healed, wasn't she?
Yes.
The woman with an issue of blood had it for how long? 12 years, spent all she had, didn't get any better, but what? Got worse. We don't know how long, the beggar at the temple gate beautiful was there. Long time. And we don't know how long Bartimaeus was in the condition he was. All we know is what? He was born with that condition. And it wasn't because of what? That he sinned or what? Understand this, that we jump to conclusions just like those disciples did. Instead of blaming on something you don't know, let's just say what? This is going to be for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Look at somebody and smile. Your healing is to the glory of God. Your victory is to the glory of God.
Amen.
He can tell you what the variable is.
Yes.
Amen? But it starts with you and with me. So we don't need to be up on our high horse here judging people. We just need to pray for the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe there are many other variables he's going to reveal in these last days. I think the glorification has a big part to do with this, to understand how he glorifies us now and in the future. But hey, we want to be a healing center. God has said prophetically that we're to be the miracle capital of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Right.
Yes.
I believe it.
Say the miracle capital,
the miracle capital
of the world.
Of the world.
That's not going to happen just because we say it, but it ain't going to happen if we don't say it and believe it. And then align ourselves with it.
That's
amen.
Right.
So when you think that way, you think, yeah, we're going to have a service and all these sick people are going to come in with their crutches and their wheelchairs and their disease on their hospital beds, and they're going to walk out of this place healed. You're missing the point. The miracle capital of the world is not about bringing people here to get them healed. It's about you going out there and getting them healed.
Yes.
That's the paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Faith for years, decades in the church world has been, bring him into the altar, bless God. Do we believe in praying for the sick?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Do we believe in casting out devils?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we believe in raising the dead?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we believe in doing all these things?
Yes.
But our mind, we've been socialized to think it happens in the building, where 99% of what Jesus did was where?
Outside
the synagogue. Outside the temple system. Amen? So do I have a receiver tonight?
Amen.
Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a receiver.
So shout this out with me. Knowledge. Faith.
Grace,
hope.
Love.
Inputs.
Will.
Stewardship.
Boldness.
Words.
Words.
Anybody here have something to work on? Homework this week? Okay. Well, me too, bless God. So let's pray about this.